Sunday you come to church to be entertained, maybe a little bit higher up people come to be informed. Okay, like knowledge. But you and I have to come here to be transformed. Okay, but that transformation doesn't occur immediately. It's mediated. Okay? If you're in a good place, these stories will inspire you. Like the transformation will begin. Like hearing Don's story will stir. I want to be like that. There's an inspiration, there's a positive. For those who are not in that place, you'll be challenged. You will hear it, and you will feel like, oh, that's not me, and then there's a little pullback. Okay? That's a challenge. Now, if you're inspired, it's easy to go forward. That's the Holy Spirit stirring. You say, Lord, that's the missing piece. That's my next phase. I got to step up. That's it. If you're challenged, then there's a bit of a battle. Whether you're offended, you're like discouraged or whatever, it's not personal, but you've got to work it through. And it's at that time you need to hear from the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Do not let the fact that you're offended or challenged be a stopping point.
That's right.
Okay? Hear the Lord say, Lord, what do you see? What do you see? It's pretty amazing. I invite one of the pastors here. I mean, many of you didn't hear before. I mean, but not everyone were here this morning. Okay? And so this morning I showed a clip. To the embarrassment of Don Christian, but it's a cool video that Alf, if you could play a video.
Oh, dear.
Well, years ago, right? Before they were even famous, and it's been with them ever since. So how do you come to work with the judge?
That's another really good question. It would take a very long time to explain all of that. This is kind of an interesting story.
Well, you know, let me just say this. Can I just interrupt the story? Because I'm not interested in what the answer is.
Okay.
And the reason is... the reason is that we really don't even want to talk about these business with you, because today's show is really called Thank You Day.
Last night I shared a little bit about why they are here in a few because of why we are here. But they're here because of the intent in these songs. There's an intent on God for our presence here in the presence. So they're here because we are here, and we are here because God wants us to be here. Because He's got plans for our lives and for this area and the nations. And in order for us to advance in God's purpose, we need to be equipped. We need to be stretched, and we need to mature. Transformation is not a child's play. It's not even a little adult play. This is a task of an army, right? And a big part of that is hosting God's presence, not just once in a while, but in a way that's explosive and powerful. And so, presence is tied with worship and intercession, and how we engage the Lord. And realize, once again, it's not about turning something on, it's not performance. But the way you are, your mode of being, why withdraw God's presence or scare the Lord. Okay. And so your mode of being, withdrawing God's presence, is a power that's going to transform anyone and everyone that's here to you. So I do take this as God's plan. It's not a personal plan. It's not because the fame is well known and we want to do something. Well, that's not it at all. Not at all. We're just taking our call seriously. And here's the wondrous thing. When we do, our lives will be amazingly transformed. Yeah. He's not just interested in what's happening there. He's actually interested in what's happening in us. Yeah. So it's just a tremendous time. As I mentioned last night, if you were here, we wanted to bless the potters with a love offering. And for those who are writing checks, just make it out to Don Potter. For those who didn't bring their checks, in lieu of it, there's plenty of awesome material. I would just say the amount that you would have given, just take that amount and purchase a lot of material, books, CDs, and give it as gifts to family and friends. Okay? And so I'm just going to ask Jimmy and Sinop to come on. I'm going to pray first, and then we'll pass out the offering plates. Tomorrow, Don and Christine will be here for our 1:30. And so if you have the time to do that, join us, please. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the powers. We thank you that what we do in life echoes in eternity. That's the same book. And that eternity starts now. What we do in life echoes in eternity, and that eternity starts now. So we thank you for the powers. We thank you for the availability. And we thank you for the witness of their motivation, fears, powerful, reckless. So we bless them, Lord, as you are continuing to use them to bless the body of Christ and the world. And I pray especially that their calling and anointing will call upon, especially our young, who are longing for freedom, fierce devotion, and joy in the Lord. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Floor.
Thank you. party blood was shed. Before the new covenant was even enacted, he's out there healing people like crazy. What the heck? He's raising the dead and healing the sick. Ask for if you will in my name. Ask for if you will. Yeah, but my will is my will. Ask. When he says whatever you will, he means when you know my Father's will, ask God. That makes sense? You guys okay now? You look a little stunned. All right, okay. I'll try to be unusual offensive stuff.
Oh, this DNA of the blood of Jesus in us. And I felt tonight that the elements were available in the blood. And I felt that the elements had to do with each one of us. We're full of elements of our creativeness, where we came from, where we're going. And I felt that tonight there's an opportunity for us to receive elements of the blood into elements of us for the activation of the fullness of God's purpose for us. So just receive that in our heart. Just ask the Lord, we ask you, Lord, to, you know, this is the kairos, the timing, the point in time, for specific things in us to come that have been waiting, even maybe from eternity to eternity. There are things in this time, this place, and not us, that are waiting for this activation to come alive in your eternal purpose. And so we ask that you will draw into us, Holy Spirit, the elements of the quickening of the blood of each person's portion that you have for activation in the time called today.
scripture says in Amos 9:11 and Acts 15:16 that the rocks were rebuilt, the tabernacle of David, fallen boots, do you remember that? And we often seek that as an understanding. But there's an understanding that can slip by us. But the scriptures that are before that is the disciples, as an example in Acts 15:16, are talking about the miracles that were happening among the Gentiles. And after that, and all of a sudden fell silent. This is verse 12. And they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After that, they finished, after they finished speaking, James replied, brothers, listen to me. He said, Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. We were intended. We didn't get selected by God alone. It wasn't God alone that the Jews rejected the Messiah. It was God's plan to bring us in all along. I know that makes sense. But then, there's something cool about it. And with the words of the prophets, they agree. Just as it is written, after this is what's in Amos 9:11, after this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it. And the remnant of mankind sounds a little like a harvest, doesn't it? The remnant of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. Oh Lord, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. I love a stuff. Does anybody know what the tabernacle of David might have looked like? There's not really any description of that tabernacle. It was only one of the tabernacle of Moses. And David built his tabernacle at the same time that Moses' tabernacle was on his stand. Still there. 8 miles away. So why don't we do something with that tabernacle supposed to be? I think that's to the tabernacle, sorry, but the temple. Sorry. But David still built his tabernacle at the same time Moses was still there. So in that process, we have to look at David did something that I'm assuming was similar to the temple or tabernacle in Rome. Does anybody agree with that kind of idea? It's just sort of a presumed thing because there isn't any description of it. So but the tabernacle of Moses consists of several things. And the Lord was trying to reveal to me this is the same thing as coming into worship or what happens to the body of Christ when we want to come to a place of worship to the Lord. We start with the outer court, which is the bronze altar. The bronze altar is before the Lord. And that is where you burn all of your idols. You know, you don't have any idols, but I discovered one day that image means idol. So if I have an image of myself, or you have an image of yourself that you're trying to sell, or make everybody think you're really holy and righteous, that's called an idol. And before you can come into the house of the Lord, he's looking for that to be thrown upon that altar. Soon. Now you may not think that's true, but just because there's no statue of you in your bedroom doesn't mean you still don't have an image of yourself. Does that make any sense? And we are a very image-conscious society at this time. What you look like means an awful lot to us. Unless I missed something when I was up in the woods, that's still happening. Is that still happening? Yes. I thought so. So when I pass by the mirror, what do I think? You know, when I look at the old Oprah show, I'm like, whoa, what a scary looking person I used to be, and only passed by how scary I look now. So after a while, you get over the concept of what I look like as being important. But when you get older and you don't have any future, it's real easy to get over what you look like. You guys are young, you have a future. you think about your future, and you live in it most of the time. God is called I Am, meaning I Am present. So if you want her to talk to God, you're going to have to get your head out of the future and get your fear out of the past. Because your past is creating a fear that's messing with your future, and meanwhile, the present never gets actually experienced where God is. That's where your prayers are answered, in the presence. I know that makes sense. So now he said, okay, get those idols up on that altar and consume them, and then quickly run to the bronze laver. That's a big pot made out of bronze, and it's got seawater in it. And you're there to wash your hands and feet. Hands mean grasping for power. Feet mean the walk of your life. Another meaning of bronze labor, which is a strength in the Hebrew, another meaning of it, in addition, is a stage or a pulpit. I thought for a while that it really means bronze labor, you know, because the words are trippy. It really means. But then the Lord kept pushing that word stage and pulp. Why would I need to wash my grasping hands and my walk from the pulpit of the stage? And the Lord just starts looking at me like, you can't figure that out? Does anybody and what that does up to me, and I'll get to the chicks out, it's too long. It means me trying to control your opinion of me. That's what that. And that's what the staging can do to your life. I want you to see it as wonderful or whatever we can do. And so the Lord is saying, if you want to hang on to that, then I'm the one who's going to expose it from the rooftops. So my suggestion is, if you're going to be involved with anything to do with worship, praise, intercession, or anything to do with, I would call the word stage, then I would be ready for God to expose you in the way you most would not want that to happen. So I would go ahead and confess it as quick as I could. You can wash your hands with each other and get your feet cleaned up as quick as possible so that it doesn't have to be shouted from a rooftop somewhere. Am I making sense? Yes. So what this will end up being is, this is about repentance. Thank you very much. It is repentance. And that's our gig in life, is to repent of way more than we understand. So they managed to get past that. And you come to the first place, it's called the holy place, and you see a lampstand that's got, you know, candles and that kind of stuff on the Jewish. You've seen that before. And that's made out of what's called beaten gold. I like it. Beaten gold. They make it in the hammer. They just keep pounding on it. And so when the lampstand maker is finished, he usually runs his hand up and down to be sure there's nothing sharp on there. If it is, he starts beating you a little more. You ever felt that beating? You know, like that hammer's waiting for you, it's taking those edges off. That's what called fellowship is. Is that making sense?
Yes.
You can't come together with other believers without some sharp edges showing up once in a while. I think God's ready with a hammer to kind of pound that one back. And this is because he doesn't want you to have a sharp edge. It's because he wants, for sure, for you to have it so you can pound it back and more and check. Am I making sense? Without knowing you have a sharp edge, what's the point?
That's right.
So he has to make it clear. How many feel like you have a sharp edge? Now, if you're a person, you have a sharp edge. And if you go to church, you've been offended. Thank you, God. And so that's the part. That's the fellowship. That's what you enter after you've washed your hands and burned your idols and washed your hands and feet. That I don't need to be on the stage and tell everybody how great I am. I don't actually need that. I'm good. You see what I mean? Then we enter into that holy place. The next thing is incense is burning. That's the worship being rising to God. Be reminded of what's occurring in this holy place. It's dark. There's no windows there. The only thing is candles and there's incense burning, so it looks a little like a nightclub in there. It's dark. There's five layers of steel on the top of the tabernacle. And it's well designed. It's meant to be dark. It's meant for you to stop looking at anything except the light of your world. And the final thing in the showbread and the table of showbread. That means the face of his presence. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
Presence of God is a stunning, awesome thing that we are now, just now, learning how to minister to. He will minister to that presence so he will tarry with us. Would anyone like God to be around a lot? We think that's what I want that. Except when he brings that conviction. That's about that. Or he caught me while I was really making obscene gestures in the parking lot for somebody to cut me off. Other than that, I want God to be on the top of the center. Am I talking to the right people? And so I do want God with me all the time. I just don't want him to know me like I really am all the time. You see that. So God, if you don't mind, would you mind covering your eyes while I'm doing these things I'm ashamed of? You see what I'm saying? That's the face of his presence. That's what we are coming into. And God is, there's a whole lot of, I have tons of scripture on this, but I won't bother going through all of it. We are being purified. Every time you sense his presence, we begin to weep. That word is cathar or catharsis, and that's when we get the English word catharsis, which is the Greek word for purify.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are being purified when you begin to weep in front of God. That's a wonderful thing to have. When we resist it, we're just resisting God's purification program. Then we face this thing called the Holy of Holies, where we're really scared to go. But behind that veil, which has been rent by the salvation by Jesus Christ and his hanging on the cross, that veil was rent. It's no less holy back there than it was when they didn't go back there. It's just as holy and just as amazing as it was back there. There is mercy. Could you use a little dose of mercy in your life? Also, there is the rod or the staff of Moses is in there, and it is a power. Would you stand some power from God? How about the promises that are in there too? You know, we've got the promises of God are in there. Could you stand some of his promises coming to pass? Also in there is a little jar of manna, permanent provision. Would anybody enjoy permanent provision?
Yes.
Those are all behind the veil. Those are the things we don't go after. Because we have the face of his presence. The Lord is looking at us like saying, why don't you enter my presence instead of just face it? Most of us come to church. And we fight with the religious spirit long enough to get close enough to God to notice that he's there for a second or so. And we run by that. Okay, God was here. We've had a great time in the church. And we take off to the house. Is that true?
That's right.
I know. It took all morning to get close to God. And now it's here. I'm exhausted. I just need to go home and go to sleep. Because it's only just so all I'm going to do is get in the Holy of Holies and feel terrible about myself, and so on and so forth. Am I talking to the right crowd?
Yes.
And then, well, I'll forego the mercy and the permanent provision just so that I don't get exposed for being who I need to be.